The message this morning, I'm hoping, is going to challenge us all. It challenged me in some of my thinkings, but it all started a couple weeks ago in our Bible study. And we were doing a Bible study, and we were looking at Jesus in Gethsemane. And the Bible study brought out some things that was like different. And as we talked about it, Nat, it was like, why don't we look at it in the way that the Bible presents it? And it's because, I really think it's because that we think Jesus was infallible. Jesus himself, at that point, was human. And Jesus was going through a tremendous, tremendous time. And I look at the whole fact of what Jesus went through in that, and I look at where we are today in our lives. And we're going to be in Luke 22. And for some reason, I don't know, are we having internet issues at all? Okay, because I just... My Bible quit working. Not that my Bible quit. I'm not. It's not calling up, and that's unusual. But we'll have it up there. So, but if you want to turn to it, that's where we're going to be in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be talking about Jesus this morning, but we're going to be talking about how it relates to us. We are in a trying time right now with the pandemic, with all the things that go on, everything in our lives, health issues, and I don't know, was it you talked about being 30? No, it was with Austin. Sometimes I forget who I talked with. Okay, Austin, we were talking one day, and he said, Pap, you got to understand. He said, 50 years ago, people only lived to be 30. He said, we lived to be 70 or 80. Of course, our bodies don't like that. He said, they wear out. But they didn't wear out so bad because it was 30. We go through a lot of stress. Okay? And this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Because stress is really difficult for us. And when we're going through stress, we're often not realizing what all is going on with our lives. When you look at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had just done the Last Supper. They were all close. Judas got up. He's going out and he's going to betray him. So Judas takes his closest disciples and he says, come with me, walk with me. And they start walking and they walk over to the Garden of Gethsemane and they start into the garden and Jesus turns to them and says, wait here. And this is what we're going to look at this morning. Luke 22:39-44. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. Jesus loved to pray out there. Okay? And his disciples followed them. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. We got another slide behind that. I'm reading off of your slide, so. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like the drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, I titled this message this morning, Victory in Gethsemane. I also titled this message this morning, is the Weakness of Christ. I also titled this message, God Has Forsaken. And I didn't know which one to use, but I chose the Victory in Gethsemane because, see, that's the real topic that we want to see here. Jesus was afraid. Now, that might challenge your thinking. Because, see, I never thought of Jesus being weak or being afraid or of anything, you know? But at this point, Jesus was afraid to the point that it said he sweat drops of blood. Now, I want you to know there is a disease, and that disease causes so much blood pressure to rise, and that's from stress and everything else. It causes so much rise that at a point, and it's normally triggered by fear, that the blood, the red blood cells, actually come out with the sweat drops of water. Okay? It's caused by fear. Tremendous fear. And they said the reason we don't see it happening a lot is most people have a stroke before the blood comes out of the pores. And they die. Because the brain is so overcome by the pressure of the blood. Now understand, this is where Jesus was. It said, this was happening. Statistics and science and everything else tells us that this was fear. But wait a minute, he was Christ. He couldn't fear, but he did. He did fear. And the first thing he did, and he knew what was coming, he knew the next 16 hours was going to be the worst 16 hours of not only his life, but anybody's life. What he was going to go through in the next 16 hours, he was afraid, he was in anguish, he didn't want to do it. And so the first point is, when you get to the point that there is so much stress in your life and so much going on, get your dearest friends and go and pray. But I want you to see something here. Christ went and prayed. Now Matthew says, he not only went and prayed, he went and prayed once. He came back and he said, this is Matthew's a little longer version. He came back to his disciples. He says, hey, what are you doing sleeping? What are you doing? I asked you to pray. He said, you got to pray so that you don't come into temptation. And he goes back the second time. Same exact scenario. He goes back to God. He says, God, he says, I don't want to do this if there's any other way. And he goes again and he finds his disciples asleep again. He does it a third time. I want you to see something here. He didn't get an answer. He didn't get an answer from God. He went three times in tremendous turmoil. And this was the first part of what we see when he hung on a cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God did not respond to Jesus. I don't know if this is the first time, but imagine that. What did Jesus do as a human on earth? Every time he suffered any type of trial, tribulation, or anything, he prayed to God and said, God, help me, and God helped him. Here he is, the worst time of his life. He goes to God. He asks his friends to pray. He goes to God, and God ignores him. What do you think Jesus felt? More anguish, more stress, more pain. Because he said, God, you're my Father. What are you doing? So the first thing I want you to see in this scripture, go to God, go to your friends, and together. But remember, just because you go to God doesn't mean he's going to answer and take and give you relief. The second point is, we see what Jesus said. He said, Jesus says to God, he said, God, take this cup from me. We don't think about it this way, but Jesus said, I don't want to do this. I'm done. I do not want to do this. I don't want to go through this. I just don't want to. This is the humanness of Jesus. This is the weakness. This is the fear. This is the anxiety that he was facing. And he said, God, I don't want to do this. He says, he's pleading. He's venting to God and saying, God, there has to be another way. Change the plan. That's what he's doing here. And that's the second point is, Sometimes we have to vent to God. Sometimes we have to get so stressed out, so angry, so upset that we vent to God and say, God, change us. And then God says nothing. God says nothing. Says nothing to Jesus. Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus is venting to God right now. He's telling God, I don't want this. He says, there's got to be another way. Change it. And God doesn't answer. And we get in our life and we say, God, change us. There's got to be another way. He said, look, I'm going through all this, God. I've got all this coming into my life. I can't handle it anymore. Take it away. And God doesn't respond. And what happens sometimes is we vent to God and we get so upset that then we want to go and we want to vent to others. God doesn't say vent to others, but you can vent to God. Look, in the scripture, how many times David vented to God? You know, you look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, hey, God, what are you doing? You deceived me. Well, God didn't really deceive him, but he felt that way. And he vented to God. We can vent to God, we can vent to our spouse or something like that. But if we start venting to other people about what God's not doing or what he should be doing or whatever, we're now gossiping. Okay, we're now spreading, you know, stuff. So, but we can vent to God. I never thought about that. I thought, you know, if I go to God and I tell him, hey, I don't like this, I'm sick and tired of it. That's not my right to go to God and tell God what to do, but Jesus did it. He said, God, I want you to change this. I want you to stop this. I don't want this to happen. He said, there got to be something else. He was venting to God. And he told God, he said, God, do you understand? Do you understand, God? Why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you telling me? Why aren't you giving me peace? Because Jesus didn't have peace. When he went and prayed, he'd come back. He talked to his disciples. He had no peace. And he said, wait here. He said, I'm going back. He said, I'm going back. And he goes back and he does the same thing, repeats it over and over and over. And God doesn't respond. And he goes back to his disciples and he says, you know, come on. Help me out here. You know? When we don't have peace from God, it becomes very, very difficult in our lives. Because, see, the scripture tells us, God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And this is what I wrestled with the most when I read this whole passage, and then I went and started studying it more, and that is, at this point, God had forsaken Jesus. And you start saying, well, God will never forsake. See, God had to forsake his son because his son was going to take all the sin, and God cannot look upon sin. And when Jesus said on the cross, why hast thou forsaken me? It is the only time in a scripture that we will find anything relating to forsakenness. And I think there's a reason behind that. God had forsaken Jesus. See, I told you, I'm going to challenge your thoughts today. Because we look at it and say, well, there's no way that can happen. But God had forsaken Jesus. Why? Because of the sin that Jesus was taking on. Not because he didn't love Jesus, but because of the sin that he was taking on. When Jesus died on the cross, the plan of salvation was made full. And guess what? Jesus took all that sin and he said, all right, it's all forgiven. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, it's all forgiven. Okay? So because of Jesus, God will never forsake any of us. Because Jesus is right there. He's pleading to God every moment of every day. And he's saying, help these people, help these people. I know what they're going through. I did it. I had that stress. I know what it's like. I know what turmoil can be. I know what grief can be. I know what sadness can be. I had to face all that in my life. And he said, because I overcame it, now you will never be forsaken. You will never be forsaken. And so when we look at Jesus and we look at this whole episode here, as he's bending to God and as he's sharing these things and he's saying, he was serious. At this point in Jesus' life, he wanted out. Okay? The humanness was speaking. The humanness was speaking. He wanted out. You guys know that I worked at Penn United for a long time, and I was a boss down there. And I would have people that would come into my office, and they would be so upset. They would just be ranting and raving, and I'd be sitting there, and I'd let them rant and rave, and I'd listen to that. And after they got it out, there were times I just said, "Do you feel better now?" Well, you know, when we get to rant and rave, doesn't it sometimes make us feel better? You know, I told my wife this morning, she didn't know what I was preaching on, and I told her this morning something. And she said, "You always take it out on me." I said, "Well, I bent on you." You know, because the Bible, but we're allowed to bent on our spouse because we're one. Okay? Jesus bent it on God. We can bent on God. Because, again, God's Spirit is within us. We become his children. And so we can vent on God. But sometimes we just have to vent. We just have to let it out. We just have to say, "I can't take it anymore, God." But remember, you may get the answer. It says, just a little more. Just a little more. We live in a life of turmoil constantly. You know, my sister-in-law was down for a funeral Friday night, and we met them and we had dinner with them and stuff and that. And she said, "Well, maybe you can come to visit when life isn't so hectic for you." And think about this. You know, I'm retired. Judy's retired. Life should not be hectic. But this year so far, I told her this year, it just seems like everything is so hectic in our life. You know? And I told my sister-in-law, "Well, we're going on vacation the day after Easter. We're going out to Branson for 10 days. I said, "That won't be so hectic." And she said, "Yeah." Life gets hectic. You know, we don't have job. Well, you know, we don't have jobs where we go and get paid. But as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, as friends, as part of a church, you know, Judy said this morning, you know, she's doing a lot of stuff in church right now that she never thought she would be doing. Because she's not the person to go out and, you know, plan it, take it, run with it, you know. Life gets hectic. And there are times in our life when we just need to vent to our loved one and to God. And God's okay with us venting. You know, God was okay with Jesus venting, wasn't he? God was okay with that. He just didn't answer. He just didn't respond to Jesus. And I like the point, the fact here, because this is an example for us. Jesus did the same thing all three times. So when he vented the first time, he just didn't go away and say, "All right, God." He said, "I'm just going to keep going the way it is." Now he goes back and he says, "God," he said, "Are you listening? I don't want to do this. Take it away." And the third time he goes back and he says, "Hey, Dad, I think, you know, the scripture doesn't tell you exactly how, but I mean, he's looking at it and he's saying, come on, you know, you're my father. Father shouldn't be doing this to his son. Let's change it. Change the plan. You can do it. You're God. Just because you planned it from the very beginning that this is the way it's going to be, you can change your plan. God, you have that right." I could see Jesus, you know, as he's getting no answer and no response, he's venting more and more to God. And we at times, when we have fear in our lives, when we have emotional distress, when we have grief, it's okay to say, God, why? Why, God? I don't want this. Because, see, eventually you will hear from God. And when you hear from God, God will say, well, this is where I'm taking you. And we come to that third point that's in this message. In the message. It doesn't say it here, but it's in Matthew. Jesus said, after he bent it three times, after he pleaded with God to take this away, to stop, he didn't want to do it, after he prayed and prayed and prayed, after he sweat the drops of blood with such fear. I mean, think about that. We don't think of Jesus as having fear. Jesus was Jesus. He had no fear, but he did. He did because he was the human incarnation. And so he had fear. And so after all this, he says, nevertheless, thy will. Sometimes God doesn't respond right away because he wants us to get to the point of surrender. You know? Surrender is not a nice word. When you think about it, nobody wants to surrender. Because what are you doing when you surrender? Huh? You're giving up. You're giving up. You're admitting defeat. Right? In a war, when they fight the war, and finally somebody gives up and says, I'm done, you've defeated me, I surrender. That's not a word that we want to use all the time. Because we're admitting defeat. Jesus was defeated there. Because, see, he was pleading for another way, and God just let him plead. And he said, nevertheless, I will be done. He said, I surrender all. Nevertheless, God, even though I don't want to do this, even though that I can't stand this, even though that I do not want the pain, I do not want the stress, I do not want to hang on that cross. See, this is Jesus in humanness. He didn't want to do those things. Sometimes God calls us to do something and we say, oh, God, I don't want to do this. Has he ever asked you to hang on a cross? No. You know, but we got to get a point when we're fighting the battle. We got to get to that point when we're going through it all that we finally say, Lord, I give up. In Mark, it records that Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful to the point of death. Do you know what Jesus was saying at that moment? I just want to die now. That's what that's when you go in and you look at that statement of what the scripture was saying with everything and the words and back in how they wrote it. He just says, I give up. I want to die now. My soul is in such a turmoil that I want to die. And then he says, but nevertheless, God, your will. Jesus, at that point in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleaded, begged, prayed, vented for God to change the plan of salvation. Think about that. Because that's what he was doing here. As I said, this challenged me. When I was studying this scripture and I'm looking at it and I'm saying, that's not my picture of Jesus. My picture of Jesus is one of strength. Jesus was very compassionate, but one of strength. At this point, I can see Jesus is just like me. Jesus is just like me. He has fear. He has stress. He has anguish. He has all that stuff. And oh, by the way, he didn't have an answer. And there are times that we don't have an answer and we say, God, what, you know, when is this going to end? And I believe Jesus was like, God, let's just end this now. How about if I just take my life, God, take it right now and let me die, because I just can't take it anymore. He said, my soul is so sorrowful. It's sorrowful to the point of death. I want to die. When we look at stuff, look at Job. What did his friend say? Job, just tell God to take your life. Just die. Just give up and die. Jesus was at that point. Right at this moment, he was at that point and he said, I'm ready to give up. I want to die. And then he comes back to the real thing that it was all about. And it was about the surrender. Even though Jesus didn't get an answer, even though Jesus sweat drops of blood, even though Jesus was afraid, even though Jesus was discouraged, stressed, upset, venting, he stopped and said, okay, God, whatever your will is. It's okay to ask God to change his plan. It's okay to vent to God. It's okay to say those things. But when you get to the final end of it all, you have to say to God, God, I surrender. I surrender, God. I give up. I'm done. Whatever you want, I'll do. And Jesus got up that third time. And what did he do? With the strength that God gave him, he got up. He went back. He got his disciples. And he said, the time for the one to betray me is at hand. Let's go. Let's go. Jesus got up willingly and went and did what he didn't want to do. The most terrifying thing in his life. He went willingly and he did. God wants us to be willing servants. Okay? God doesn't want us to keep part of it back. God doesn't want us to say, okay, God, well, I'll do this, but can I do it this way? When Jesus said, nevertheless, nevertheless, okay, I'm at a point I'd rather die than do this, God. I'd rather die right now than do this. Have you ever been to that point? Have you ever been to that point that you'd said, God, I can't go through this loss. I can't go through this. I would rather die myself, God, than have to go through this. Have you ever been to that point? When you get to that point, that's when you have to say, but God, nevertheless, if this is what you have for me, I will do it. I will go through and I surrender. I surrender to you, God, and whatever it is. And I want you to see that God didn't remove it from Jesus at that moment, did he? See, we think, all right, we surrendered to God, everything's hunky-dory. That's an old phrase that we used to use back 50, 60 years ago, right? Some of you older ones probably have heard of hunky-dory. Everything is just great now. I surrendered to God, I'm going to go, and everything's going to flow just perfectly. God still said to Jesus, let's complete the plan. Let's do it the way the plan says, and we'll just go on with it. And Jesus willingly then went to the cross. You don't see Jesus fighting a bit from that point, do you? You don't see Jesus, we don't even really see the fear in Jesus from that point. He walks away and he said, nevertheless, I will. He walks away from that point of his life And he says, I'm going the direction you want me to go. See, this is where we struggle in our lives, okay? If we're going through a thing that just is so traumatic and has so much turmoil to us that we can't take it anymore, and we say, all right, God, I give it to you. We think when we get up from that prayer, or when we walk away from the altar, or when we, you know, walk away from that friend, now everything's going to be great. It's not. Jesus still had to complete the plan. Even though he surrendered to God and said, okay, God, I'm done arguing, I'm done with it all, I'm going to do what you want me to do. God didn't change the plan still. And we may still go through that event. It's at the other end of the event that God's answer is waiting. See, when Jesus hung on that cross and he finally put his head down and he died, that was the end of the event that caused him so much turmoil. That was the end. And at that point, what happened? The plan of salvation was completed, and we now have that salvation in our, that opportunity to be saved. Okay? I don't know why we go through what we go through at times. You know? I look back at times and I see things. I don't know why that I had to stand and had a hold of my dad and he got killed. In my hand. On his shoulder. Trying to pull him back when this tree come crashing to the ground. I don't know why I had to go through that, of grabbing a hold of him and thinking that I could save him only for him to die. But it was God's plan. God had something there. And even though I still have questions for God as to, did it have to happen that way? I've accepted the fact that it did. I've accepted that fact that it had to happen. And see, Jesus accepted the fact that it had to happen that way. Jesus said, all right, nevertheless, I'll do what you want me to do. And even though I don't like it, and even though I don't want to do it, and even though that it scares me to the point of I want to die, I am going to do it. And see, that's the victory in Gethsemane, isn't it? The victory was the fact that Jesus gave all and said, I surrender. And at that point, that was the victory in Gethsemane. The victory after Gethsemane was that when he died on that cross, rose again, and now is part of our lives. And we can be part of the family of God because of that, you know, that event. And it's sad to say that, okay, I get to be God's child because Christ had to be tormented and had to be so scared that he wanted to die. Think about that. Think about that. I'm free because he did that. Is it any less that we can do for God and say, God, I'm going to do what you want. I don't know why, God, I'm going through this. It's okay to go back to God after you don't get the answer and say, I still don't understand, God. David a lot of times went back to God and said, hey, God, what on earth is going on here? I don't understand. It's okay. God doesn't care how many times we question him. As long as at the end of the questions we say, God, nevertheless, I will do what you want me to do. I will go through the darkest valley. I will go through the deepest of the oceans. And one day, you will show me the top of the mountain. See, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So when you're done penning and you surrender, just remember, I don't have the whole thing, but I used to love this. And I still say, it's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. You know? I could have asked Dave, I said, find that for me and have it. But, you know, it's Friday, the darkest of the darkest. The hour has come in our lives where we're at the point that we can't go on any further. Maybe not all of us, but for some of us, we've come to the point that we just say, God, I can't take it any longer. God says, I am here for you. And if you surrender, I will help you through it. I will. That's the biggest part about surrender is now we got to let God take control of all of it and say, I take my hands off of it and I'm just going to follow what you want me to do. And that's a hard thing. But that's what God wants. As the praise team comes forward, we're going to do the My Heart is Yours Again and close. The altar is open. If you're fighting a battle, you have friends here that would like to pray with you. If you got to the point that you can't take it anymore and you want to scream and yell at God, there's a place to pray and say, God, I'm done. I can't take it any longer. I want out. That's okay. We get to that point at times. If you've gone through the battle and you're sick and tired of it, but and you're at the point to say, nevertheless, God, I give it all to you. I surrender. The altar is open for any of those needs. Any of those needs is like this is a place where you can gather and your friends can gather with you. And I promise you this. Well, I won't go 100% because Chuck's back there. I'm picking on you, Chuck. If we come up to pray with you, none of us are going to fall asleep while we're praying. Okay? You have a place. God says, come and meet me. Surrender it all to me. And I don't promise you that it's going away. But God says, now that you surrendered to me, I'm going to carry you a while. You still got to go through it. You still got to face the facts. You still got to fight that battle. But I am fighting right with you. Let's stand.
I give up my life, I give you my trust, Jesus. And you are my God, and you are enough, Jesus. Jesus. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, Lord, my heart is yours. Take it all, my life in your hands. I'd lay down my life, I'd take up my cross, Jesus. For you are my God, and ever the cost, Jesus, oh Jesus. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, my life in your hands. Take it all, my life in your hands.
yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life in your hands. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all, my life in your hands.
And all to Jesus I surrender, all to you I freely give. Oh, I will ever love and trust you in your presence I will live.
Bow your heads. Lord, we know that as we all look at our lives, that we all at times have tremendous stress. We have tremendous fear. We have tremendous anguish. And though we've never got to the point of sweating drops of blood, it could happen. And God, I thank you for the message that there was victory in Gethsemane, even though it was not what Jesus wanted. The victory was surrender. And God, I pray this morning that no matter what we are going through, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what has hit us, and Satan will hit us over and over and over and over, no matter what Satan does to interfere with our life, to make it difficult, to just basically drive us crazy, Lord, you're there. So I ask as we look to you this morning, let each one of us open up our heart and say, God, I surrender all. I surrender to you. I give it up. And God, I'm going to walk away knowing that I surrendered to you, and it may not change, but God, you've promised to be there with me. And so no matter what we're going on through our lives, I ask right now that each one of us can say, God, I surrender. I give up. I'm done. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm going to just do what you want me to do. I know you're there with me. As we go from this place, God, I ask your blessing on each one. And that you just be with them in this coming week. Let's sing that chorus once again, All to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to I freely give. I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I will. Amen. You are dismissed.